Hello, this is Paige Chatty with CBM Connect, and I am here today with Clay Allen of Mosaic's Four Corners Mine in Bradley, Florida. This interview with Clay is brought to you by UE Systems. Clay is responsible for developing and assisting with the implementation of proactive activities that maximize equipment availability and reduce maintenance costs for all rotating assets at the plant. This includes creating job plans for installations, optimizing PM processes, facilitating RCA exercises, and managing the precision lubrication program. These actions have resulted in a reduction of potential safety and environmental incidents, improved equipment availability, lowered operating costs, and a more efficient use of manpower. And today we're going to talk with Clay about setting up a lube room. Hi, Clay. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Paige. How are you?
Great, thank you. So we're going to dive right in. I'd love to hear from you about what the first steps are that we would need to take in setting up a central lubrication storage area.
Sure. One of the most basic things that you need to do is analyze your equipment and see what lubricants you actually need to use. That can be very easy if you have to do it on a small scale, but there's a third-party companies that can come in and do a lubrication point survey assessment of your equipment, and it can give you a good spreadsheet of exactly what greases and oils you need to use for all of your equipment types. But if you need to do it on a small scale, you can always look at the equipment manuals. A lot of times they'll be also on the name tags of the equipment, depending on what temperature range you're in. It'll kind of tell you the viscosity of oil to use. So definitely look at the name tag of the equipment and in the manual. You can work with your OEM, your original equipment manufacturer, to figure out what types of grease and oil you need to use. And then from then, you can realize what scale do I need my lubrication storage to be. But I would also advise going through and looking in the warehouse, making sure you don't have any old lubricants in there. Talk to your mechanics, your PM mechanics. Make sure that there's no grease tubes stuck back in the back corner of their shop or in their little cubby holes or their lockers. A lot of times they like to keep some spare stuff in there, but that'll greatly reduce your risk of cross-contamination once you do figure out your final list.
Okay, great. So then after confirming the lubricant used in the facility, what would be done next?
Well, once you have your scale of how many oils and greases and different things you need to keep in there, I would definitely suggest selecting an area. Some places may not have a storage shed available, and you have to get your own. Build one, or these days they have a Connex, 20-foot, 40-foot Connex that you can completely set up with all the different tanks you need and flammable storage containers for putting grease tubes. Once you do that, definitely bring your environmental and safety people at the site, your EHS people, bring them in at the start, because you're going to have to figure out how many fire extinguishers you need, how far apart they should be. You're going to need exit signs, maybe an eyewash station. You're going to need signage and labeling. You're going to need SDSs available. There's a lot of different things, a lot of details that go into picking out an actual location to store a bunch of lubricants. You may also want to check with your company's insurance policy to make sure that it doesn't have to be a standalone building, or can it be close to offices in case of everything goes up in flames. So there's a lot of details, and you need as many people in as you can. Make sure it's done right the first time. I would highly recommend using the 5S system. The 5S's are something that applies to a shared space. So, for instance, my office, I don't need the 5S my office because I'm the only one that uses it. I don't need the 5S my garage because I'm the only one that uses it. 5S is not just to organize everything and then leave it alone. It's a good way to be able to sustain a shared space, like a break room or a lube room, where multiple people will be going in and out and getting things, to make sure that it doesn't become disorganized and that random things don't show up in there, and there's a vetting process for all that. So definitely select an area, get with your EHS people, make sure that everyone has their input as far as what is needed to make it safe from a people standpoint and from an environmental standpoint if you need secondary containment and all that. I would recommend using the 5S principles from lean manufacturing. And then kind of select the area goal. Part of 5S is determining your area goal. So the lube room that I set up at Mosaic, the area goal is it'll be a place that all mechanics can easily access items related to lubrication. So our lube room isn't just for PM mechanics. It's for all mechanics. I want anybody to be able to have access to a desiccant breather or to a quick connect or to a rubber cover or to a grease tube or to an oil jug, because our PM mechanics aren't there on the weekends. They're a Monday to Friday guy or girl. But we have weekend duty mechanics. We have night shift guys that may come in and need something related to lubrication. I want it to be easily accessible for them.
All right. So then tell me a little bit more about the area goals for your Lubrim.
I kind of mentioned it's open for all. And one of the things you do with 5S is you continue with a daily check. So we have three maintenance crews at a facility I work at. So each month, one crew will take the daily check. It's just coming in, making sure all the lights are turned off, the filters not running, that there's no leaks, that all the items are stocked, and if there's something missing, that they take note and their supervisor can order it and they can refill it. It keeps that sustainability going in your lube room. So those daily checks, it's maybe like 10 items to check, something very simple someone can do in 5 minutes, sweep the floor, and different little things that they can do. But what that does is help keep it sustainable, because you have a monthly audit to where myself, the reliability engineer, you bring a PM mechanic with you, you bring the supervisor of that area for that month, the maintenance supervisor, and even the maintenance manager, you bring them in, and we're going to do a longer audit of the lube room. Make sure that all the lights are working, the doors are working, the signage is still in place, and nothing is, all the lines that you have or on the floor to where to store stuff, if they're not broken. You do a lot more detailed inspection every month. And it drives that engagement with the hourly workforce, and it helps reinforce to upper management that this is important, even though it's something small and that can be easily neglected, that we're still going to focus on this. The monthly audit we have is about 100 questions. Again, it's all part of that 5S process. There's 5S's and maybe 20 questions on each of those categories. And by the time you're done, it's a very easy way to keep all the work you did to putting in establishing your lube room, to keep it from degrading back to chaos and disorganization. And no one wants to go in there because it's never stocked and this and that.
Definitely. So then what about lubricant storage areas outside of the lube room?
Yeah, we have some plant. We have some areas, some equipment, especially like the conveyor head pulley, where it doesn't make sense to keep the lubricant in one central area. Sometimes it's easier to keep it at the point of application, your equipment. You just follow your MLT1 and ICML best practices as far as keeping everything color-coded. If you have a bulk oil tank, you can definitely set that up with quick connects, a breather. You can have to make it, maybe sometimes you have to make it out of metal because you may have hot work in the area. You can't make it out of plastic. You can do a double wall tank. You put your desiccant breather, your quick connects, your filter unit. You just follow those best practices, even though you kind of have a remote satellite storage location. We have probably about a dozen and a half oil tanks out in the plant structure between hydraulic oil and gear oil. And so we basically duplicate that. Each tank is color-coded based on the type of oil it has. It has level indicator on it. We ended up buying new tanks for all those locations based on our precision lubrication efforts.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, Clay. We really appreciate your time and telling us more about setting up a lube room, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Hopefully it was useful, and good luck in your lubrication journey.